Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. We your number one spy.
Talk to me, baby. Talk to me. We're firing a little slow over here on the fetch screen today. Man, hey. We went like 2 weeks without hearing the song at all. Now we hear it twice in the same week. Yeah. Let's go.
Wait a minute.
They do not know what Sacktown brings. When on the low, that's a Sacktown thing. Talking about us, it's a bounce out thing. Must they forgot we some Sacramento Kings. Whole squad going crazy, yeah, we back with it. Northern Cali going crazy, one sack winning. If you doubted us then, ain't no backspinning. This is real right here, ain't no catfishing. So tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9-16 now. Look towards the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam,
I was thinking about it.
I thought I'd call for it, but job's not done. Okay.
We got a game tonight.
Okay.
If the game was tomorrow, we would have rolled two verses.
So we letting it be known right now they win tonight, two verses tomorrow.
Oh, God. If Zell ever gets off his ass and stops dropping EPs and gives us the remix, we'll play seven versions of the song tomorrow if they start this homestand 3-0.
We'll play the Bad Bunny Spanish version.
Man, we'll do that. We'll play the 90s R&B version. We'll do it all.
You know, that reminds me, because I've been looking for my favorite version of Freaking You, you know, with Raekwon and Ghostface and all this other stuff.
Every time I close my eyes.
Well, see, you got to get the Wu-Tang one. Every time I close my eyes, I wake up feeling so horny. That one's so fire. That one's so fire, right? But it's not on DSPs. But what I found... It's actually on Tidal. I just don't know how to get back to it. But what I found was they have like seven versions.
Why do I look like I'm leaning? Because the camera's cooking.
They have like seven versions of that song. So if you like go on iTunes and put in Freaking You, there's like seven remixes to that. I said all that to say we need seven remixes of Light the Beam by Young Zell.
Okay. Well, I'm called for it, Zell. Come on. What are we doing? What are we doing? Maybe Jodeci will perform all seven of those Freaking You remixes.
I'd be all for it. Let's go.
Man.
I'd help if they need me to.
Well, they don't. We don't. No one does. We welcome you in here to the Thursday, March 20th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Boylan.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
Slums of Sacramento.
Man, starting this homestand 2-0. Some people may say it was the win of the season last night. It was certainly the most improbable win of the season last night. Kings knock off the Cavs 123-119. A disastrous first quarter, a spectacular third quarter. So many things went the Kings' way along the way. Man, that was as memorable of a regular season game as we're gonna get.
I'm chuckling real quick because everybody, as you were talking to Kyle, the Keon Truthers, they're getting their stuff off today, right?
Well, hey, let them rock.
Well, look, And then Keon, my boy, that's why I only like having, because I rock with Keon. Keon is a sharpshooter, right? Mm. He's a sharpshooter. Like De'Aaron didn't lie to us. Remember when he first, he's like, nah, that boy can shoot the pill. He didn't lie. Keon is that. And obviously we know he plays defense. But the Keon truthers getting their stuff off today when they had one of the worst first quarters I've ever seen in my life. It was him in the stand. It's not his fault. I'm just saying, in the starting lineup, it was one of the worst first quarters ever. They had 12 points with under a minute to go.
And
he didn't finish the game.
Yeah, that's the other part. So that's, you know, you talk about, so there's, you said a lot there. The one thing about that first quarter, though, was they scored 15 in it. The Cavs only scored 22.
They did.
Like, you got to tell the whole story here. And
oh, your doc's hilarious.
It's not. It's so bad. But maybe that's what makes it funny. Yeah, you got to tell the whole story in that regard. Like, it was terrible offensively. But again, they held a Cleveland Cavaliers team to 22 points in that one. And the thing that I just kept getting stuck on, and this is what I was telling the insiders a minute ago, was they did an amazing job of staying within striking distance. Like, when the game gets to, you know, gets to the half and it was 56-47, so it was at 9. It's like, man, this isn't the worst. Mm-hmm. Like, it's right. You know, they're within striking distance. I just didn't think they'd be able to strike. Mm. And then you get, midway through that third quarter.
Yeah, they went crazy.
And it was like, oh, they're doing this.
Yeah.
And then you started having some heroes emerge from this one. And there's a lot of capes to go around because some guys played at a really high level, man. But credit to the Sacramento Kings. Credit to Doug Christie. I think Doug and that coaching staff did some amazing things last night. And DeMar in that fourth quarter going one-on-one. I mean, it was Mobley, it was Donovan, and, you know, DeMar, he made sure that the Sacramento Kings didn't lose that game, and Malik Monk put the icing on top.
I'm glad you led with that. That's why you my guy. I'm glad you led with that, because there were a lot of stories in it. Devin Carter with his best game as a pro last night. Fantastic. Yeah. We'll get into that.
30 minutes for Devin Carter last night.
Come on, man.
That dude didn't look like he could play 5 minutes a month and a half ago.
Come on, man. We're going to talk about Devin. Because as Lethal Shooter would say right now, I understand it now. I understand it now. Okay. So we're going to get into it. DC, we love DC and what he's been doing. We'll talk more about what he's been doing. But even the Keon Ellis and him starting. Keon, that's my boy. So anytime he plays more and they're able to win, let's salute it. Big ups. But how many times, I'll tell you, it's like two times because it doesn't happen often. But those three times when DeMar DeRozan misses like five shots in the fourth quarter and the Kings lose by two, this chatty house over here, the phone lines, the airwaves, DeMar DeRozan is the problem. He's the problem. But when moments like this happen, we always hearing about other people, and I'm glad you started with DeMar DeRozan, because he brought him home last night. He brought him home against the best team in the NBA record-wise. And that, I'm not sneezing at how many four-quarter points he have. I think he had 14.
Wow, was it that many?
Maybe I could be wrong. I thought at one point he had 9, and I thought he had two more field goals.
He had 11.
It's still
a lot. Yeah. He had 11. He was 5 of 8.
11 fourth quarter points going up against the best team in basketball, bringing them home. And this is what I talk about when people, I feel, jump off the deep end with DeMar DeRozan in the games that they do lose. Overwhelmingly, this is what he does more times than not this season with the Kings. Games on the line. You need somebody to bring you home. DeMar has done it way more times than not. I can count on one hand. I only got to use all my fingers the times he didn't come through in those moments. And it's not to say he's a perfect player, but you got to live with both of them. Because more times than not, he's going to do what he did last night. And there's going to be those times in New Orleans when he misses four shots towards the end of the game. He's not a perfect player. It happens. But you got to live with it, because more times than not, he's going to do what he did last night.
Yeah.
And last night, he brought him home. He brought him home.
And it wasn't just that he brought him home. He brought him home against the Cleveland Cavaliers, as you said, one of the best teams in the league, the best team by far in the Eastern Conference. And he did it against Evan Mobley, who was trying to, like, I didn't think the Kings were going to win the game. When the 5-point lead got cut and it went 3-1, 3-1, 3-1, it was just like, the next shot we miss, we're done.
Yeah, it felt like they couldn't miss a
because
shot.
Because Donovan's going to end this. Like, Mobley's hitting shots. Donovan hit that quick turnaround three. It's like, Donovan's going to end this, and it's going to be sick. It's not going to be as sick as when Steph does it, but it's still going
to
be sick.
I kept rewinding that one where he turns around. He had to have stepped on the line at some point there. There's no way.
Nope.
That and Donovan's step through, bring the ball over. I was watching the game. Like, this dude is sick.
He's nasty.
Donovan is sick.
Bro, he's so nasty. He's one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And the Kings never opened the door for him.
Yeah.
DeMar never opened the door for him. Malik got that last one. Oof. Like, they, as a 1-2 tandem of closing that game out, man, that was as spectacular. That was as emotional. That was as invigorating for a home crowd as you could possibly get.
100%, man. 100%. And like I said, I was telling James this earlier. I look at what we've seen the last two games with the Sacramento Kings. This is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
This is who this group is. That's why last week was so upsetting and so disheartening for me personally, because this ain't them. This is not the Sacramento Kings team under Doug Christie that I know and I identified as being tougher than a $2 steak.
$2 steaks.
When they played all those games all last week, I looked at it, I said, that's not who they are. And a lot of people may look at them and say, that's who they are. They're reverse. I said, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. That's the outlier. You include this week, I don't know what we got, a previous 4 weeks of them being this.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't always lead to a win. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You've got games like the Clippers game. You've got game like the Denver game where...
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
They play a certain way. They don't always win. No, nobody's saying it's always going to be a win. But the way they approach the game, the way they approach competing, this is who they are. Last week was not who they were. And I'm glad to see the real new third version Sacramento Kings this year step back into the building and give them an opportunity to play. They might not win tonight. But the way they approach the game has to be the same every time. And I think that's what Doug has been preaching to these guys since he took over.
You said a lot. That's why I took notes. Oh. I'm going to ask you to elaborate on something you just said.
Okay.
We're just getting started. We're thrilled that you're here with us. Show is loaded. Jake Gaden, he's going to be with us here. CBS has coverage of the NCAA tournament today. Will Z will be with us. Break these games down by the numbers. And then Matt George, Locked On Kings, ABC 10, final hour of the show. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's Thilo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines for you. First, we're going to let these air horns fly.
Yes.
Happy birthday to our girl, Kendra Montgomery Block.
KMB
celebrating her birthday today. We talk about her all the time. She made sure I was able to get our Cleveland Insider tickets to the game yesterday.
There we go.
So that was pretty dope. Strangely enough, my phone didn't ring last night. I'm not sure what it was.
He got tagged in the post.
Oh, that's a cold game. On Instagram, he probably ain't going to see that post for like a year. Yeah. He ain't even going
to
know
it.
It
took forever to accept my request.
It's because he never checks. He never checks social media.
Yeah, you got to tag.
Ever.
You got to tag.
Like, you have to text him like, hey, bro, look at your social media. And even at that, he said, oh, all right, man, I'll get to it. But yeah, happy birthday to our girl Kendra. And let some more air horns fly. It's a day late. He's not in there. He can't hear me. But Kyle and his wife just celebrated their 3-year anniversary.
Come on, man.
And their wedding was one of my favorite days ever. David Jackson made me an ordained minister for the day.
Pastor D'Lo.
Yeah, made me an ordained minister for the day. And it was a day.
There we go.
It was a day. So shout out to Kyle and Heather, man. Love.
Yes.
You said this team isn't who they were last week. This what we're seeing right now is closer to who they are than what we saw last week.
Yes.
You said it pretty definitively. Why?
First and foremost, that's what they've shown us. They've shown us more. It's almost like I talk about with DeMar DeRozan. Like, people get mad about him in the Pelicans game, and you know they lose that game. Like, oh, he just shot him out the game, the hero ball, and all this other stuff. And he missed shots. He missed those shots. They didn't win. But my thought was, look at what he's done this year. Look what he's done in his career. More times than not, that's who he is. So that's why I'm going to – he's come through in those spots. So I'm not going to label him who he is at his worst moment. I'm going to look at what he's consistently shown and be like, this is a clutch guy. I'm going to take my chances with him in those moments because he's shown that he can come through in those situations. Yeah, with DeRozan, they got upset with him in the Clippers game when he made like 10 of 13. But he took one bad three, and they're like, oh, the hero ball. Mm. But he's shown that's who he is. This Kings team, since the trade deadline, just watching them, watching how they are, and I'll even go a little further back. It's a little unfair because De'Aaron's not here. LaVine is here or whatever. Under Doug Christie, this is who they've shown themselves to be. This is the culture. This is the mindset and the mentality that Doug Christie has fostered in that locker room. And they haven't had a week like last week in like a month and a half, 2 months. So because of that, I'm not going to define who I think they are based on their worst moment. I'm going to go with what they've shown over a long period of time. What I have it up. It's been 37 games at this point with Doug Christie. They're 22-15.
Mm-hmm.
37 games is enough for me to say, if you've shown me in 33 of those games that you compete, you get after it, you know, you're hard-nosed, all this other stuff, I'm going to say that's who you are and not those 4 games where you just didn't show up.
I mean, I guess, like, I don't know how you count those 4 games, obviously, but, like, they're 10-7 since the trade deadline. So if you're not as bad in that little 4-game stretch, it's a lot better, I guess.
That's the record with the 4 games, the 10-7.
Yeah, with the 4 games.
Last week was unacceptable. That, to me, that's not who they were. They don't have to win every game, but the way they folded all last week, that's not the team that I had seen for about a month and a half.
I hear you. So, we're putting this all on Mike, then. It's not a trick question. I'm not trying to, like, set.
I get you. And I'm trying to be fair to Mike a little bit. Because at the end of the day, you know how I am. Regardless of what's going on with that coach, you players are in control of how you approach the game. And you may not like this guy, but your name is on the test, too. And if you're going up there and you're quitting against Indiana, yeah, we could say they quit on Mike. But, bro, that's not okay. That's not acceptable for you to – because you don't like a coach to just stop giving effort. You know what I mean? So that's the only reason I pause is, yes, Mike Brown was the head coach. But I don't want to absolve them of their performance before that. You're in charge of how you approach the game. And just because somebody's in there now that you like – doesn't mean like it's okay for you to approach it differently, previously.
You know, is it just that though? Like, you don't like the guy, or is it like coaching styles and the way maybe practices and stuff like
maybe that? Maybe that. He wasn't playing one of the guys too. That's another thing.
Because I'll put it on Mike. Like, Doug Christie came in, and even when De'Aaron Fox was here, they were starting to win ball games again. They went from 13 mm-hmm. and 18 and completely flipped the switch.
I mean, Jesse's probably right. The quick answer like, you're, is like, no, yeah, it's on Mike.
Like, the players got to step up too, but it's like there was a constant there that you moved in. Now it looked a lot different after.
And our guy, Matt George, Locked On Kings, he says they've also not played hard for Doug. And this is where I talk about, this is an anomaly. Outside of last week, which I don't know what happened. I don't know if they were still stunned from Sunday. Give me another three games where they just didn't show up under Doug Christie. I don't think you can do it.
Well, I don't know what argument I'm making here. They didn't not show up versus the Knicks. They just got beat, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Like, they just got beat.
I agree with that,
Knicks.
Too.
Like, yeah. that was a. I don't believe scheduling losses are a real thing, but. You had the emotional game the night before, mm-hmm. the emotional outcome the night before that didn't go your way. You came in, it's already a team that beat your ass once that just appears to be a brutal, brutal matchup for you. Mm-hmm. You lost that game. I'm fine with that. The Warriors game, and I think that was the next one. The Warriors game was, oh, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You can't do that against them again. And then you had the Phoenix one, which, you know, Phoenix is starting to string a little, you know, some things together. But still, that was one where even you said on Sports Sunday, I don't like the way it looked. So really, I would pare those four losses down to two.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I would pare those four losses down to two that I was just really like, ugh, this is really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know what point I'm trying to make in all of this, because it was the same guys on the floor when Mike was here. And so there's clearly been a shift in mentality. There's been maybe it's a shift in focus. Maybe Doug just has them doing things that make more sense for them. You gave us the home record yesterday, which is now one game better. Was it 11-3 yesterday, and we're up to 12-3?
12-3. That's
that number right there is, whoa.
That says something.
Like, word.
That says something, because I thought about it a little bit more. 12-3 is a 15-game sample size at home, obviously. I do math.
Very good.
And I know that's not a season or anything, but somebody can tell me if I'm wrong. They hadn't had a 15-game stretch like that at home in like 20 years.
Mm.
They, like, because obviously they weren't good. I don't know. Maybe they had a 12-3 stretch beam team 1 year, but we've been talking for years how they don't play well at home.
I don't know if they did. I mean, maybe they did. I don't know if they did, though.
But to me, as small as a 15-game sample size may be, that says something, because that's something that we haven't seen in decades.
Sure.
So we can't just sneeze at that. And Matt again says they didn't show up for Mike in a 5-game stretch and he got fired. That's not entirely true. Because I'm looking at the schedule right now. The 5-game stretch, they didn't show up, sure. But then they got blown out in L.A. against the Clippers. They didn't show up for that game. They got blown out in San Antonio. They didn't show up for that game. They didn't show up again against the Clippers. They didn't show up against Brooklyn at home. They got blown out against OKC. That's before we get to the 5-game stretch. Portland, the day after Thanksgiving, didn't show up. Like, now we're getting into 10, 12 games where they did not come to play.
I'm not entirely sure what stretch Matt's talking about. Is he talking?
He's talking about the five that got him fired.
Okay, so they lost by one to the Nuggets at the beginning of that,
mm-hmm.
and then they had the De'Aaron play at the end of that. So there's three games in the middle. Two of them were against the Lakers, and the Pacers was a massive no-show.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the one game I'd say they didn't show up for.
They absolutely did not show up for that one. Yeah, they did not show up for that game at all. I think they were in the second Lakers game.
They were, because Anthony Davis
was the three.
Well,
right?
No. The second game at home was when he missed the free throw and they didn't get the rebound. They had to go on like a 10-0 run in the final 2 minutes to get within one. Mm-hmm. Like, they were on the verge of getting not blown out, but losing decisively.
Mm-hmm.
And they fought back and got it close, but then they didn't box out Anthony Davis on that free throw. Mm-hmm. So I just, like, you asked the question. For lack of a better term, I danced around it a little bit. Jesse got right to it, and he's probably right. Like, it is, for whatever reason, doesn't mean Mike is a bad person or a bad coach, but that changed how this team approached the game. From that moment, they haven't approached games the same way. They've showed a different level of competitiveness on a consistent basis from that moment on. The first 28 games of the season, what was his record? He was 500, so 13-18.
13-18 was his record.
31 games of the season. I just pointed to 10 games where it's like, what is this team even doing here? There were 10 games that looked like last week.
Okay.
So I danced around it. Jesse's probably a little bit more spot on. Yeah, we probably are looking at Mike in this situation. And once again, I'll dance around it again. I don't even want to say Mike. I'm going to say Doug Christie. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say, Mike was the problem. I'm saying Doug Christie is the solution. You know what I mean?
Mike's not a bad coach, but he clearly wasn't the right one for this team.
That's the perfect way of saying it.
You can't be a bad coach and win all you did and stuff like that.
Man, sure
coach of the year, but he wasn't the right fit for this team.
It sure felt like he was.
But he wasn't. I thought he was.
He wasn't.
I thought he
I
was.
I guess
too.
He wasn't.
He ended up not being. I think maybe early on he was. And in the long run, things changed. You know what I mean?
Either way, a hell of a win for the Kings last night, 123-119 against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Devin Carter was spectacular.
Mm.
Devin Carter is putting together a really good stretch of basketball, whether it's box score basketball or it's tape basketball. Like, he's putting together a really good, stretch of games here where he looks like an NBA player. Something he absolutely did not look like when he debuted with this team. Something he absolutely did not look like before he went to the G League.
Yeah, he looks like he got his legs under him a little bit. And I want to stall us out just a little bit because we were very critical of Devin Carter early on. But when we were, I think we were perfectly clear in saying in that moment, like, we'll stall him out a little bit because his entry into the NBA kind of already put him behind the eight ball. Number one, you've got a guy that's coming off surgery, that needed surgery in the draft, and you go draft him. He's stepping to a team that needed him immediately. So he doesn't get summer league. He doesn't get training camp. You give him two G League games, and then you throw him into a situation where, we need to turn our season around. That's unfair to him. That is unfair to him, and he wasn't ready for it. They did the right thing in sending him down to Stockton to get him more playing time, let him get his conditioning, let him get used to the pro game a little bit more. Now, I mean, not just the NBA game, but just the professional level of how the game goes. And he's come out here for the second stint, and like you said, he looks like an NBA player. And that's all we were kind of looking for early on. And it wasn't even that. But he's done a phenomenal job in his second stint. It started, for me at least, with that Clippers game where he came in and I was like, all right, I see him contributing. He's doing some good stuff. Might have even been the second half of that Spurs game too. I think that was before the Clippers game. But I was like, all right, he's looking cool. And he's just continued to build on that and build on that and build on that. And it culminated last night with his best game as a pro. He was so impactful and so good last night.
30 minutes for Devin Carter in that game last night. Obviously, part of that is Zach LaVine being out. Obviously, part of that is Jake LaRavia being out. But the fact that he got that opportunity, made the most of that opportunity, and looked like, okay, some of those things that you know, if you watch the Kings game, you see some of that stuff now translating to box score numbers, some of that stuff translating to more measurable forms of an impact. Man, good for Devin, because we were really hard on him to start this season. Now it just turns out we can shift our anger back to the front office.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, the perception around Devin, I think, is a lot different if he's struggling from game one rather than game 55 or whatever it is.
Yeah, and that was the position the front office put
him in. Yeah, like, it was right? their
100%, fault, yeah. 100%. I mean, they're,
front office could save kittens from a burning building, and I'd find a way to criticize him for it.
There is a notion that he probably shouldn't even been – we shouldn't even – and they couldn't do it because of the position they put him in, the position they put themselves in, and everything. But we shouldn't even have seen Devin Carter until that Clippers game.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he was thrown out there when he wasn't ready, and the results were predictable. But to his credit, he didn't get down.
Mm-hmm.
He went out there, worked when he was in Stockton, worked in practice. And when he got his second opportunity, he was ready for it. He's taken advantage of it. And he's done a fantastic job. Another thing that I kind of noticed watching that game specifically last night, and this means something to me. That team seems to like him.
Mm.
Malik Monk, that seems to be his boy. Maybe that's his rookie or whatever. I don't know. But he rocked with Devin. Him and Devin got a connection. DeRozan feels the same way. I think they see him every day. They believe in him. They want to see him succeed. And when I see those type of things and I notice those type of things, it speaks volumes to me. And whatever criticism or harsh evaluation I may have, I pause on it a little bit, because they see him every day. They see it. All right, I'm going to trust them just a little bit and see, give him a little bit more time. And last night it really stood out. They were really hyped up and happy for every positive thing he did last night, and that just stuck out to me.
A hell of a night for Devin Carter. Del Christie called it his welcome to the NBA game. Really good night from Trey Lyles too. We knew he would have to play a bigger role with Domantas Sabonis out, Jonas Valanciunas in that starting lineup. We knew that the length that the Cleveland Cavaliers had, that would create some problems for this team, where you would really have to utilize Trey Lyles. Of course, that's all magnified by Jake LaRavia's late scratch. Not that Jake LaRavia is a big, but he is a guy on the wing who can, you know, move around for you a little bit. That just put an extra bit of pressure both on Devin Carter and Trey Lyles. Again, much like Devin Carter, 30 minutes for Trey Lyles off the bench yesterday. And those guys really kind of, you know, led that second group, we got a little bit of what we expected. We got some minutes from Markelle Fultz, which we'd wondered if we would see.
Oh, Markelle.
Yeah.
he was actually playing well before that moment.
Yeah, that's tough. It's hard not to remember that moment.
Did you see it, though? Like, could you tell what was going on?
Yeah.
Well,
we'll get there. No, we'll get there.
It was difficult. I didn't know.
No, we'll get there. Oh, there's plenty to talk about with that goddamn broadcast. Let's get you. Yeah, we'll get there.
That was
yeah. Let's get TC in here. Look, if we're a sounding board for NBC Sports California, y'all might want to listen.
We're gonna start doing extreme home makeover for like different stations and TV stations and all that, radio and all that.
Let's get TC in here. The Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's up, TC?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, my guy? How you doing, man?
Oh, man, vibing, man. Jesse, man, what's up, bro? Hey, look, check it out, man. Hey, that game was impressive last night. That might be one of the best wins, right? Actually, the best win of the season, right? I know we won it like Boston. I know we like a few, right? But last night was a dog win, bro. That's what I mean by a dog win. When I see everybody gritting like that, we got dogs now, defense especially. When you talk about Jake, when you talk about Keon, Keegan, and now Devin, bro. Listen, man, everybody had their thoughts on Devin, but I see the vision, money. I see what they were seeing in Devin, bro, and he's a piece that we needed. I know everybody got their feelings on who we should have took and all that, but this dude is what we needed on the team, whether he's a guard or not. That's what I was saying when I seen him earlier. I know he was up and down in the beginning, but I've seen it, dog. Like, how you saying you see it now, Kenny? I've seen it before, bro, even though he was up and down. Dude is what we need, man. Listen, we finna be one of the scariest play-in playoff teams, bro. Get ready, y'all. I promise you.
Okay. Okay.
Stephen Brown said TC is an emotional roller coaster.
Thunder don't want to see the Kings in the playoffs.
Got your little MVP, huh? Okay.
That's my boy TC. That's my man.
I don't know what to say about Devin Carter.
I think it's simple though. I think it is simple. We've talked about it. Like, he was thrown into a situation that he wasn't ready for.
Yeah, and he did not look like it showed.
Right.
He did not look ready.
But that and you mentioned it, and we talked about it, that wasn't entirely his fault. What are you going to say? No, I'm not going to play?
Yeah.
Like, no, he's going to get out there. He's a competitor. He's going to try and do the best that he can.
And
he just wasn't ready. And the front office, like you said, put him in a tough spot.
And asking him to learn on the fly under these circumstances is tough. Now, that might not be the circumstance you thought you were going to be under when you drafted him. But that was awfully arrogant of you to believe everything will be just fine and we can work this rookie in as the season moves along and maybe he can find his way. He talked quite a bit about that last night. He acknowledged, he himself, Devin Carter, acknowledged he wasn't ready when he got here. And he said conditioning was a big factor. He talked about the shoulder. That's another thing that I feel like before he returned, we gave it the proper amount of attention. I'm not sure that we gave it enough attention after he returned.
Yeah.
But that's a slow, tough rehab.
Yeah.
That shoulder rehab, especially as a basketball player and as a quarterback, that shoulder rehab is tough. Mm. And you know, he talked about, you know, there were times where I needed to get hit. I needed to just, you know, feel things. I needed to get my wind. I needed to get my on-court wind. Like, there are things you could do. Like, you hear this, well, you could do cardio. You can get on a treadmill. Like, all that stuff helps. But it's not game action. Because game action, you know, cardio, you could do high-intensity interval training till dawn. If you want to, you don't have to think when you're doing that. When you're on the floor and you're doing that high intensity interval training, the stop and go that is professional basketball, and you have to think every second that you're out there, it's not the same.
Oh, not even think, but execute.
Yeah.
Like, you got to make this jump shot.
That's right.
Like, you got to make sure your legs.
It's not just a flat sprint and a stop. It's a flat sprint, a stop, and a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different. And there is no way
with someone in front of you,
right? Well, like the best defenders in the world,
right?
Except for the Bulls tonight, but
the Bulls are a gutty team, man. That's a good basketball team coming into Sacramento.
Real talk, they can fill it up.
They can
fill it up.
No.
What do you mean no?
Nah, because like Dame made a face, and I thought too.
Oh, you reacted to the hey.
Nah.
Hey, he reacted to the
sideline ref. The sideline ref saw it too. That's a flag.
He
got stuck on the camera.
I'm SGA out here.
Shot didn't go in, so we had to call the foul.
That's it.
I'm SGA out here, just getting to the foul line. I'm Anthony Edwards, getting to the foul line 20 times. We'll come back.
Oh, my God.
Hey, two things that we will address when we return. Tell Christy and that coaching staff. Goddamn,
I'm so excited for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, those are our people, but we need to talk.
It's the first time the TV pissed me off.
We need to talk. Stealing with Casey on ESPN 1320. Kenny just be out
our
here.
Our latest conspiracy.
Just be out here saying stupid stuff.
I didn't create this. I didn't say it.
Usher lying.
We'll get Usher on the show this week.
Usher just flat out lying.
And Usher out here trying to Mandela effect us. And as Kevin on stage said, I don't care. It's cruising the streets. I don't care what you're saying, Usher. It's cruising the streets. He said, Haven't you noticed you're talking to the black community? We don't care.
No.
We said a long time ago it's cruising the streets, and that's what it is. Thanks for your PSA, but we'll go back to our regularly scheduled program of cruising the streets.
I'd also look at Usher like, you think you determine the words of the song? Because I assure you, brother, you do not. We determine the words of the song.
They also say...
That's like when someone tried to say Michael wasn't saying Mama Say, Mama Sa, Mamaku Sa, that he was saying something else.
Who said that?
I don't know. Some stupid-ass TikTok video. Get your whole ass out of my face. He says Mama Say, Mama Sa, Mamaku Sa. You telling me I've lived the last 40 years believing that's not what he said? And he said something else? Get out of here. People are stupid.
Yeah, and T-Pain did the same thing where he said... he said a couple, but he said on buy you a drink, I'ma buy you a drink. And how does that go?
I'ma take you
home. No. Say, no. I'ma buy you a drink. Go ahead.
He doesn't say words next. Doesn't he make noise?
He said he says words.
What's he say?
We always say, I'ma buy you a drink. Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
He says, and we, and me, or something like that.
I'ma take you a drink.
And we, I'ma take you home. No, he said, and then, that's what he said. And then,
no, this is stupid.
I'ma take you
home.
This
is not what he says. This is, why do you believe it 45 everything?
Minutes, 45
why
minutes.
Why do you believe everything?
This is T-Pain said this.
Man.
And we're saying no. Like, the black community is saying no. We don't care what you're talking about. You didn't say that.
No, it's fine. Well, this is well, Lord, this is not the edited version. Back to let me get. I'm a bye.
And then that's what he's saying.
Well,
and then
I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
It does.
It doesn't matter.
I agree.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care. It's cruising the streets, and it's ooh-wee.
Nah, keep playing with me.
You think they're gonna Mandela affect the game yesterday?
Kings didn't win.
Well, no. The fan cam wasn't the first half.
Oh, damn. Bro, they went near the whole second quarter with that. I was so upset.
I was like, if you strapped a GoPro to a bird.
So what I thought... Like, so they switched to the camera, and I think the first play, maybe the second, I think it was a Malik Monk breakaway.
Sounds about right.
Because Devin, it could have been, I don't think Devin Carter had a big breakaway dunk. He had another nasty dunk. I think it was a Malik Monk breakaway. Mm-hmm. And I said out loud, yo, what great timing. Wow. And then it was like, okay. All right, let's switch it back. Like, that's enough. Switch it back. It was like watching the all 22 of a football game for the whole goddamn game.
It was legit so bad. You know how bad it's got to be for me to go to the boxing streaming sites to look to see if maybe Cleveland's stream is on there?
Jeez.
Wow.
It wasn't, by the way. It wasn't.
Man, it's so bad.
I risk going to jail for that.
So bad.
That was awful.
It's fine, but not like to watch the game.
Exactly.
In.
It's a gimmick thing you do for a couple plays.
You do it.
Were you watching the game with anyone?
No.
The person I was with goes, I could see so much more of the game this way. No.
Don't encourage them.
No. Stop this. Like, cut this off. And then it does this. They did one where they went from that view to that sweeping view.
Well, the sweeping view I liked.
No, the sweeping view was fire. Mm. But you can't go from that view to the sweeping view because then you're wondering, like, yo, what psychedelic drug am I on right now? Just give me the camera.
And frankly, I don't want to watch the game from Rosie of Section 205.
Come on, man. Come on.
Was that a wire or was it a drone?
I think it was a drone. It was moving like one.
And who bought it? It looked like Chase bought it. Is that what that was? That looked like the little, because it said Vantage Point. But it had one of the logos I thought looked like one of the.
I thought whoever paid for it must have spent a bag on it.
I don't think Chase bought it.
I'm sorry.
Because you know they would have put their name on it.
No one. I thought that was the Chase logo.
You know they would have said, yeah, brought it was just to you by Chase. You know that.
Vantage Point or whatever next to the NBC Sports logo on the TV. There was no, I was looking for one too, but I didn't see one. I thought maybe you saw it.
I know what you mean, but
that
I don't,
wasn't the Chase
I think
logo?
That's just them doing like a camera.
Oh, hell no.
Nobody paid for it then, I guess.
You put that crap on our screen and no one bought it? Hey, look. One, please stop. But, yo, if you're making money, like, do you. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out a better way to do this.
Yeah.
If y'all just put that up there for like, hey, guys, let's try this. You can go to hell.
Nobody asked for that.
Oh, that was
James
terrible.
Was talking about they got some new equipment. They were trying to try it out.
Okay, well, try it out during the Stockton King.
Yeah, go to Stockton.
Let Deuce and Moe call the game with that thing moving around like that.
Yeah, that was so distracting. It was so terrible. Devin Carter's dunk happened with that view, and it didn't do it justice. There was also a situation where, like, all right, I'm paying attention. I know what happened. But you couldn't really see the net because it clashed with the key. So it took a second longer. Did he make that? Oh, he did. Okay, cool. Because it just clashes. So it was awful. It was awful. Like I said on Twitter, they had this sorry NBA Live 97 camera view that was uncalled for. Now, like you said, the triple letter view, that's what we call those seats, the triple letter seats, that was a good view. I like that.
No, that's not what we call them. We call them the Kenny Caraway seats.
No, we don't.
No, maybe, I'm sorry, maybe you don't.
You're talking about the courtside Caraway seats?
Yes, that's what everybody else calls them.
No, you don't get to talk about triple anything. Triple belongs to the nosebleeds. That's for us.
It's the Caraway cam view.
Yeah.
We all know what it is.
No, that's not what it is.
That's literally what everybody calls
it. That was fire. I like that. I felt a lot more comfortable with that one.
I liked it, too. I just don't like that you went from that view to that view.
True.
Those are two views that can enhance a broadcast,
mm-hmm.
unless you live on them. Does not enhance the broadcast if you live on it.
That's the thing. You can't do that. It's almost like maybe you'll get this. I'm not sure. Maybe Jesse will. But you know, like, it, when they have alternate views for football video games, and they're like, do the blimp view. All right, like, this is trash. Like, why would I play the whole game on blimp view? This is awful. This is what this was last night. It was terrible for a whole game. Now, like I said, you know, I'm also the guy that likes options, right? Let that be an option for me. You know what I'm saying? James Hamm said it earlier. Let me pay $5 a month to get the alternate views. And I'll go to NBC Sports Bay Area Plus and watch it on there if I need to.
Hell, I'll give you $5 not to do that again.
don't put it on the regular joint.
Not for that long.
No, it was the whole second quarter.
It would also make a great replay view.
Thank you.
Like, yo, look at Malik's breakaway from this view. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, you get a steal at half court with that view, you could see, you know, 75 and the 94 feet or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's the all 22. It's going to look a little bit different. All right, great. Hey, take a look at this play that Malik Monk just ran with DeMar DeRozan. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's for. Do not make me watch the game like that.
No. That, like you said, replay was perfect. There are moments, like I was looking at it and you could see the whole court. Like, you could see defensive rotations, right? Like, help side, somebody getting in. Like, you see it, that's cool. But like you said, use it on a replay. They went the whole second quarter with that. Now, the low camera, the triple letter camera, that's they did have that when Markel missed his dunk. It's like, oh. If they were up top for that one, I wouldn't have known one way or another what happened.
Well, they had no problems running replays of that one. Sorry, Markel.
That was tough. He, like I said, he was playing well too.
That's one of those ones where you audibly go, "Oh, he missed it."
Oh.
You got to own that one.
Yeah. There's nothing you could even say. There's nothing he could say. It's just like, oh, man.
Let's get our man Big in here. Let's check out these Elk Grove Kia Talk line, 916-909-1320. Big E, what's going on, brother?
What's going on with you guys?
What's up, Big E?
You know, just vibes are up. You know, I think Doug Christie is the coach that the fans deserve. I don't remember someone winning such a high, like, winning percentage at home. No one wants to be like D'Lo and take the family out to watch them lose to the Wizards. Like, what is that?
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, but I'm sorry, but my heart broke out to you that day. And then if Uncle V, if he does blow up his front office, like, get me someone that is a Batman that doesn't need a Robin, please, and that sees Doug Christie in the future for this team. Thank you, guys.
All right, Biggie. How are you, Biggie? Yeah, that's an all-timer. They had 23 friends and family there for that Wizards game. Couldn't see the beam.
Are the Wizards Kings really good?
No. And they're coming back. Not all of them. My sister.
For what game?
And my nephew are coming back. Because my nephew is a big Celtics fan. So they'll be here.
Bad job, Uncle D-Lo.
On Monday.
Make sure you scope that baseline, by the way. So you see if any of our coworkers are down there.
Mm. Got you. Got you.
I'll find out today. I'm going to find out today who got them tickets.
Yeah, this one. This ain't on. My hands are clean on this one. I swear to God. I don't know how.
How are they all gone the rest of the season?
I don't know how.
These people don't even like sports.
Exactly. See, we've been asking them to watch the show for years.
See Complex down there. Complex down there watching basketball for a quarter. Like, all right, I'm leaving, man.
Oh, man.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.